Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and get comfortable. But not too comfortable. It's the WCHL Podcast with WCHL Commissioner Christopher Perry and Andrew Majorkurd.
Yes, indeedy doody. We are back for the last WCHL podcast of this season. I am the commissioner, Christopher Perry. Had to remember my name there, Andrew. We've been out of practice for a while. And that laugh, that guy you hear on the other end, it's my very best friend in all the world. It is the quinceañera scheduler extraordinaire for the city of Oklahoma City. It's Andrew Majorkurd. Andrew, say hello to the people.
Yo, yo, yo.
Andrew, it's been 2 weeks since we've crowned a champion up at the Centene Community Ice Center, 2 weeks since we've, and longer since we've done a podcast, since I chose not to do any podcast from St. Louis.
Yep.
What have you been doing? I know that we had hockey, and then we had to get reabsorbed back into real life, and then spring break was upon us.
Lots of work.
Yeah.
Lots of diaper changing.
Oh, that's right. Oh gosh.
And lots of bottle feeding. that's been my life the past 3 weeks.
Well, Andrew, I have to ask, the bottle feeding, is that you or is that somebody else in your house?
I've fed enough bottles and changed enough diapers that the bottle feeding has moved on to myself now.
I figured the diaper changing for sure was someone changing your diaper, but apparently not.
Oh, man, I tell you, it's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure.
Bottle feeding sure does sound good. You know, after going through 4 games in 4 days, holy smokes, I could use a lot of bottle feeding up there.
lots of games that first couple days, huh?
Man, I'm telling you what, that just by that Sunday, when Sunday rolls around, you're just and they're great games on Sunday. Don't get me wrong; they are great, 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 great games on Sunday. But when the last game is over, you're like, "Oh, thank God!"
I just go, "Thank God!" I can go take a break now and go take a rest.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get into it. But Andrew, the last game on Saturday and the last game on Sunday at Nationals. Oh, both of them went into overtime, and you're like, no, I want to go back to the room and get some food, go to sleep. Oh,
how about that?
Andrew, we have a champion. We have a champion. Let's jump right into the Nationals recap.
Yes, let's do it.
We have a champion. The Adrian Bulldogs are the ACHA Men's Division I National Champions. They came out on top. We'll talk about how they got there, but holy smokes, Andrew, this was the first year of the 24-team experience at Nationals for Men's Division I.
Yeah, worked out pretty good.
That's what I was going to say. I think, you know, some people might take it as, Perry, you always talk about, you know, crappy teams from crappy leagues and how, you know, they showed up and showed you. And maybe I need to eat some crow on some of that. Who knows? But I would say that the 24-team experiment worked pretty well.
Just going down the list here, most of those games on that opening Thursday were pretty decent little games, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought so. There was one that was an absolute blowout, and it was kind of expected. It was a closer game than the score indicates, because I think, and I'm talking about Purdue Northwest beating Indiana, Pennsylvania, 11-3. But if I remember right, and I'm not going to pull up all the box scores, but I thought after 2 periods, that was like a 4-3, 5-3 game. And then Purdue Northwest just went nutty in the third period.
Yeah, just blew it wide open. But yeah, I mean, there was what, 8 games that first Thursday night or Thursday day. And, you got two, empty net games, so those were close right down to the wire, right?
Yeah.
The one blow up, but yeah, then other than that, one goal game, three, you know, lots of close hockey right there.
Lots of upsets, too. Lots of upsets. So let's talk about it over at Maryville. Maryville had the supposed had the best games of the day because they had the closer seeds, the 15, 16, 14, and 13 seeds. And so that's where Brian Moran was. I was over at Centene where I had the 9, 10, 11, and 12 games. And, yeah, so over at Maryville, we had our first upset of the day when Pittsburgh, the number 20 seed, beats Arizona, number 13. They beat them 5-2 with an empty netter.
Yeah, and you kind of called that, right? Kind of a trap game for Arizona a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, Arizona has trouble scoring.
And it's kind of come in spurts on them this year. And you kind of called it like, hey, you're going to have to be have your head up and aware when you walk into this one. And yeah, it happened, right?
It happened. And then also Grand Valley State and Delaware played a great game, a 6-5 win for Grand Valley.
Yeah, close game there.
Calvin just in a, not in a surprise, but I guess it would be a surprise. It was, they beat Indiana Tech by a score of 5-1. And I guess that would be qualify as a surprise because I thought Indiana Tech would give them a better game.
Yeah, I thought there'd be a little bit more fight in that one, right?
And then in the nightcap, the 16-17 game, Grand Canyon out of the WCHL has a one-goal victory, 4-3, over
Illinois State.
Now, Illinois State made some they made a lot of impressions over there at Maryville.
Oh, I can only imagine.
their parents, a couple of zipper heads were standing up in front of the TV monitor or in front of the TV camera with some signs, and we're deliberately trying to obscure the signs. I mean, we're trying to obscure the camera. And, it's, you know, this is the second year in a row now that the Illinois State parents have kind of made themselves known.
Yeah.
Last year up at Marlboro, remember, we had to call the police in because the Illinois State parents and the IUP parents were having a little back and forth.
Yeah, trying to have a little bit of fisticuffs, right?
Thankfully, there was a section. Thankfully, they couldn't get to one another easily. But there was a lot of alcohol involved on both sides. And I think it's fair to say, even though I wasn't over at Maryville, the reports that I got back were that there was still a lot of alcohol involved from the Illinois State side of things.
That's great.
And it wasn't that they were trying to fight the Grand Canyon parents this time. It was they were just being loud and obnoxious and not very nice to the Maryville staff and the ACHA folks that were there in attendance.
Huh. Well.
Yeah.
Close game, though, right?
A good game. Hey, good game. And Grand Canyon has to come from behind to score a third period goal to win it. And then they have to hold on for dear life. I think, if I remember right, I think Illinois State pulled the goaltender with like 3 minutes to go and to try to tie it up and came pretty damn close a couple of times.
Yeah, and that's kind of the game that we had earmarked on the day, right?
Yeah.
16-17 matchup. We knew that was going to be a tough one.
Yeah, and then over at Centene, we had the games that I had. We had a WCHL game to jump, get us going. Missouri State beats Utah 4-3. Then we had the blowout game in the second game, Purdue Northwest 11-3 over IUP. And then we had Mary struggling a little bit with Westchester. Yeah. That was kind of a shocker.
Yeah, that was a 3-1 with an empty netter.
Yeah, so, and then the really and then the big shock of the night was Oswego State, the number 24 seed, comes in and takes out number 9 Niagara.
How about that?
And I'm sure that's the one that there are some folks out there that like to listen. They hate listen. I guess it's fair to say they hate listen to the podcast.
Yeah,
because after 24 Oswego. There are some people out there, or one in particular on Twitter. Well, I forget the guy's name. We can go back and find it. But he was like, the commissioner called me unprofessional and all sorts of stuff for ragging on the conference. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Congratulations. If this is what it is that you're going to hang your hat on, go for it, buddy. It's why we play the game. So
It's why we play the game, and it's my podcast, right?
Well, yeah, and it's still a crappy conference. So, I mean, let's call it what it is. Oswego State had a hot goaltender, and Andrew, if they had one, they must have had a dozen breakaways. All four of their goals were scored on the breakaway. In Niagara, you know, once Oswego State got up on them, Niagara's sticks, they just gripped them a little tighter and they just could not convert. Whereas Oswego State, like I said, they took advantage of some odd man rushes and some breakaways and they converted on four of them. And, hey, credit to them. They won the game.
I can't quit laughing right now. So,
so hey, that worked out well, right? That worked out well. Now it stunk for Missouri State. I mean, I shouldn't say it stunk for Missouri State. It was good for Missouri State to win. It stunk that they had to beat Utah to get there. Cause I thought Utah, played very, very well and, deserved a better draw in the tournament, but yeah, to their credit, Missouri State came out and played well. I think Utah got on the board first, and then Missouri State just charged back, and they had to hold on, I think, if I remember right, hold on because Utah, you know, finally found their footing again and started scoring some goals. But by then, Missouri State was already up. And, Mary, it was a 1-1 game between Mary and Westchester, and then they got a late third-period goal in that empty netter.
Yeah, so that was a close one there. And I really thought, Utah was coming in kind of hot in the Nationals here.
Yeah.
You know, they've just taken out UNLV a couple times in the regular season there, and, you know, I kind of thought Missouri State was in for it. And, like you said, they fought through it. And then the Mary there, the 1-1 late with the empty netter to seal the deal. That was kind of a shocker when I saw that one come across the board too, right? I kind of thought Mary, you know, their first trip to D1 Nationals would kind of go in and make a statement a little bit, and oof, they kind of stumbled off the gate.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't. I think they played well. I think that the stage might have been a little. I'm not going to say overwhelming, but because, I mean, hey, they got the job done, right? But
yeah,
that one and done format, you can't bring your B game or your C game.
You got to show up ready.
You got to show up ready to go. You got to bring your A game. And for most teams, you got to bring your A game for four straight games. For some, five.
Yep.
And I'd say it's fair to say Mary probably brought their B game on Thursday to start the series, and it showed.
Yep, so, it did.
But hey, credit to Westchester. I mean, you know, they deserve to. I mean, they won their conference. They deserve to be there. They deserve to have a chance. And they almost pulled it off like Oswego State did. So hey,
they did. They almost made it to Saturday, right?
Give them credit. They showed that they could play with people. I just wish they would play more of those folks throughout the season. But, hey, we can't have everything, right?
Yeah, can't all, right?
Can't have it all. All right, hey, on the next day, the big upset was right from the get-go. Pitt,
yes,
already an upset winner over 13 Arizona, shocks Jamestown. And, I mean,
yeah, Pitt, shocked them.
Pitt dominated that game. It wasn't even close.
Blew my bracket all to pieces.
I think it blew a lot of brackets all to pieces.
Yeah, it did. Boy.
Yeah. So it was Pitt just came out and just dominated Jamestown. Jamestown had a lot of speed, but whiffed on a lot of pucks and could not convert. And, a lot of these Pitt goals, if I remember right, were all power play goals. And, boy, they converted and made Jamestown pay.
Made them pay. Yeah, Jamestown was big and fast and physical, and Pitt just took it to him.
One and done. The number four seed is out on Friday morning. Yikes.
Ugh.
And I think that woke up 3-2-1 because Central Oklahoma took care of Grand Valley State in the next game 4-1. Adrian just smoked Calvin 4-1. It wasn't even that close.
Yeah.
And then Minot took care of Grand Canyon by a score of 5-0. So
yeah, 5-0. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jamestown's woes were the wake up calls for the top three seeds.
Yeah, that's probably safe bet right there.
Yeah. Hey, and then on Saturday, well, that's when we had some fun games too. UNLV, UNLV had a great tournament. Let's just say that right from the jump. They came out and they played very, very, very well. But man, they just came out and took care of business against Missouri State.
Yeah, they did.
They were flying.
That was ugly. 7-2.
They had UNLV. UNLV had a chip on their shoulder. They were pissed off that they were the 5 seed. They thought they should have been the 4 seed.
Yeah.
And they had been hanging around St. Louis for a couple of days because they had anticipated they would still stay the 4 seed. Remember, UNLV and Jamestown flipped on the very last ranking of the season.
Yeah.
And so UNLV, I think, was just, I think they were sick and tired of being in St. Louis and sick and tired of not playing anybody, and they were pissed off that they had to wait till Saturday. And man, they came out and they were just flying against Missouri State and just let Missouri State have it.
So. Yeah, poor guys. Missouri State just kind of walked into the hornet's nest, right?
Yeah, they did. And then we had a, Maryville, another upset. Maryville loses to number 11, Purdue Northwest, by a score of 3-2. And Andrew, you know, the really crappy part about, if there was a crappy part about the whole experience, it was that we did not, and this is a failing on the ACHA side of things, they did not have the instant replay working properly for the Maryville Purdue Northwest game, because there was a point in time where it was like a 1-1, it was a 1-0 Purdue Northwest lead. Maryville thought they scored.
Yeah.
Play went on for like the next 4 or 5 minutes until the next stoppage. And at the next stoppage, the referees went to go review it. And the poor guy who was a volunteer running the instant replay could not rewind it to find the play.
Oh, no.
We must have had a 10-minute delay, if not longer, trying to get the guy to find, to, you know, basically rewind.
Yeah.
And they could not find it.
Couldn't find it.
And so, you know, finally the official said, hey, you know, they didn't get it. And they turned the instant replay off because, you know, if it's not working for one, it's not going to work for all, right? So for that game, they turned it off.
Yeah.
That could have changed the outcome of the game because, you know, I think Purdue Northwest ended up getting another goal before Maryville started scoring. And, you know, Maryville was playing catch up the whole time.
Yeah. And they got them 3-2, right?
They did. And unfortunately, you know, Maryville has a photo that, you know, trust me, all of us saw during the first intermission. Has a picture from one of their media folks that, you know, appears to show the puck in the net, it appears to show the puck over the line,
yeah,
and before it gets swept out of there by a defenseman. And you know, I mean, it looks like it, but there's no, you know, the angle on it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it could be the angle, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. So, you know, there's really no way to look at it or no way to see it unless we're looking directly at the overhead things. And unfortunately for Maryville, the instant replay wasn't available, and it just sucked.
Yeah, so, that does suck.
You know, and I'm not going to say this to be mean, but the really sucky part about it is it was a 1-goal game. Had it been a 5-goal game, like that 7-2 Vegas over Missouri State blowout, then, yeah, hey, 1 goal is not going to make a difference, right?
Right.
It was a 3-2 game.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Maryville will tell you that they had another goal waved off, too. I didn't see that.
Oh, boy.
One.
Oh, boy.
But anyways, long story short, from that time on, the ACHA went into overdrive, and we found not only a person, but we found the person who runs the instant replay and basically bribed that son of a gun to stay with us for the rest of the tournament.
Oh, boy.
And we didn't have any problems from then on. But it just sucked that we did have a problem.
Yeah, it could have been a game changer, right?
Yeah, it could have been a game changer. Hey, the next games of that day, Liberty beat Mary 2-1, which was, it was a really good game, very good game.
Yeah. Close. Mary, that's kind of close game, right? Kind of what I expected out of Mary.
Yeah. And then Ohio got pushed to overtime. Oswego State, you know, yeah, they play in a crappy conference. And, they had a great goaltender. And, yeah, they put up some goals. I mean, Ohio jumped out, but Oswego State fought back.
Yeah.
Tied it up to send it to overtime. And, Ohio prevailed. But they got pushed to overtime by Oswego State. So, hey, props to the Lakers. Props to being the number 24 seed and proving that, that they belonged at Nationals.
Yeah, they almost made it, right?
Yeah, Ohio turned out to be a semifinalist, and they were one goal away from going home.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That's hockey. That's hockey.
It is. It's why you play the games, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right, and then Sunday for the quarterfinals, Nevada Las Vegas just came out, and they were. I'm telling you what, Andrew, they were just
on fire again.
On fire again. They took care of Pitt. It wasn't even close. 5-1.
Yeah.
UCO came out, and it wasn't close, but it was still a good little tight match. It was what was the final there? 3-1 with an empty netter.
3-1, yeah, with an empty netter. So yeah. Nail biter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean it was, but it wasn't. I mean, it was Purdue Northwest got close, and that game was controlled more by Central than anything.
Yeah.
Same with Adrian over Liberty. I mean, the Adrian over Liberty thing, the shots were like 2-1. It was just insane how absurd the shots were in Adrian's favor, and they ended up winning 4-2 with an empty netter.
And Adrian had a little chip on their shoulder coming into this because, you know, they got upset in the conference championship and all that. And
they did, yeah.
And then, so you know those guys had a little chip on their shoulder coming into this.
Then the shocker of the night, Minot State, the defending national champ, the number one team coming into the tournament, gets eliminated in overtime by Ohio.
How about that?
And, Andrew, this was another one of those deals. Minot State outshot Ohio. It must have been 60-30. And in overtime, usually overtime games end like in the first minute or two.
Yeah.
Or they go deep, 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 deep. This one went about 15, 16 minutes into overtime before Ohio got an odd man. I won't even say it was an odd man rush. It was
it's kind of a fluky goal, I think.
Yeah, not so fluky, but two of the Minot defenders went to go to the guy who was rushing down on the left side, and they left the guy wide open on the right, and the Ohio guy threaded the needle to the guy on the right who had a wide open net to pop it in. It wasn't an odd man rush, but it kind of turned into an odd man rush when the Minot defender left his position.
Yeah, kind of fluky in the way it evolved out, right? As they were coming down. I didn't expect the two defenders to collapse over to the one side and leave the Ohio guy kind of alone by himself over there.
Yeah, and hey, he made no mistake, and Ohio goes on to the semifinals. So we had Adrian, Ohio, Central Oklahoma, and UNLV in the semifinals. Everybody knows how that turned out. Adrian just dominated Ohio. Ohio went late into the evening on Sunday night, and they had to play the first game on Monday. They had run out of gas.
Yeah, they were out, yeah.
And then the Central Oklahoma game against UNLV, the final score was 6-4 with an empty netter, but Andrew, that game was over in the second period.
Yeah, UNLV just controlled that one.
UNLV dominated Central Oklahoma. It was a 4-1 game after the second period, and UNLV they were flying. They got to every single loose puck. UNLV clearly had this was the third time those two teams played from the WCHL. They did tie for the conference in terms of points. And the only reason UCO has the trophy and UNLV doesn't is because of the tiebreaker rule that we have.
Yeah, literally one goal, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and it was on the third tiebreaker.
Yeah,
and UNLV had a, we're talking about a massive chip on their shoulder.
Yes,
they were already pissed off, and they just wanted to ram it right down UCO's throat. And boy, did they!
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah. UCO's a good little hockey team.
Yeah, UCO was good, but UNLV was clearly the better team that day. Fast, talented, and they put their speed was on this particular day, Andrew. Their speed was amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just, it was, I'm not going to say men against boys, but for two periods, UCO started, they came to life in the third period, but it's just like we said earlier, you can't bring your B game.
Yeah, you got to show up, especially that late into it, right?
You in this thing, UNLV brought their A game for 2.5 periods, and I would say that Central brought their C game for 2.5 periods.
Yeah.
And can't do that. UNLV moves on to the championship game against Adrian, and we all know how that one turned out. Adrian was just too good. They UNLV still had the speed. They still had the speed advantage, but the defensive I'm just going to say structure, the defensive discipline of Adrian. I mean, it was a tight game for the first period and a half, and then Adrian
just got it. And
Adrian scored a goal, and then they scored another power play goal, and then they got an empty netter, and it was UNLV had their chances. They absolutely positively had plenty of chances. This was not the final score is 3-0, but it wasn't domination. UNLV had plenty of power play chances. UNLV had, they like to do a little tic-tac-toe and a little backdoor action and, slam the puck into an empty net type of a thing. And they had their chances, but the most valuable player of the tournament, Noah Dekotnes, the goaltender for Adrian, he was on his game. And the Adrian defense blocked a lot of shots before they could get to Dekotnes. And so UNLV definitely had their chances. There's no doubt about it.
How about that?
But they did themselves proud. I mean, I thought UNLV played an excellent series. They just, I'm not going to say they ran out of gas, but I think they just ran into a better defensive, disciplined team in Adrian.
Yeah, because, UNLV, I think we'd all agree they're kind of high-flying, right?
High-octane offense.
Yeah, and if you get somebody that's a defensive juggernaut, they can just go in there and choke it down and basically choke you out and not let you move, right?
Yep.
That's kind of what happened here.
Yeah, so there we go. Dekotnes, for the goaltender for Adrian, he's the most valuable player. UNLV had two guys that made the first team all tournament. Matias Del Monte, who was on our podcast way back when, even though I lost half of it due to my ineptitude. And then Bradley Gallant, number three for UNLV. I mean, that kid can fly. He's a hell of a player. And so those two guys made first team all tournament. We had four WCHO guys on the second team all tournament, two from UNLV, D-man Alec Johnson and his brother, forward Max Johnson. The Johnson brothers both made the second team all tournament. Goaltender from UCO, Doug Wakeland, and then little number 12 from UCO, Sam Sykes. They made the second team all tournament as well. Wakeland had the save of the game, the save of the tournament. Well, there were two saves of the tournament. One was Wakeland shutting down. It was a Purdue Northwest shot and on Sunday, and it was just. I mean, the whole, I forget the exact sequence, but Andrew, what I remember is the gasp in the arena when it happened, because everybody knew that, like, oh crap, that was their one chance to do it, and he just robbed them blind.
He just bought it from them, yeah.
And then the second big save of the tournament, or the second biggest save of the tournament, was in the championship game. Dekotnes robbed one of the UNLV guys on one of these backdoor type of things, and Dekotnes flashed the leather and just shut it down. And you were like, if UNLV had a chance, if UNLV was going to get on the board, that was it. And this guy shut it down. Yeah. And then, hey, let's see. Central Oklahoma had two other guys make the honorable mention list for the all tournament. That's Davin Burton and Vitaly Mikhailov. Grand Canyon, Hunter Schmitz, he made the team, or the all tournament team. UNLV's Jason Dimizio, he was great too. I mean, holy crap. That Dimizio kid reminded me a lot of Brian Bosworth. He must have like football shoulder pads on that kid wears.
Just big old set of shoulders on him.
Yeah, from like the 1980s. And goaltender, UNLV goaltender Vince Benedetto made the all-tournament team honorable mention. And then, let's see here, Utah's Ethan Light and Missouri State's Blake Harper. Both of those guys also made the all-tournament team. So not a bad showing for the WCHL.
Yeah, good for all those guys. They deserve it, right?
Yeah. So, Anyways, Andrew, anything else from Nationals that that we want to talk about before we hit a horn and come back and talk about other gibberish?
Thank goodness it got here. Thank goodness it's in the background, and let's move forward.
There we go. All right, hold on for a second.
All right, we got time for a few questions here. We got a plane to catch.
Johnny, another tough loss for the club. Fans throwing their jerseys on the ice. Tell us what went wrong out there.
We got to have four lines banging bodies all night long, getting pucks out, keeping it simple.
Mike, this loss puts you guys in last place in the West. The coach's job is on the line. What's the solution here?
Well, you know, we can start by staying out of the box. We'll play a disciplined game out there, pretty simple stuff. But we're frustrated here right now. We're a frustrated bunch. You know, it's too bad that that someone's got to wear it, and it's usually the coach. But at the end of the day, you know, it's up to the guys in this room to get pucks deep, get pucks in the net, and win some hockey games.
Johnny, you were recently photographed in a Florida strip club snorting cocaine off a transvestite prostitute's breasts. What's the story there?
Four lines.
Four lines of cocaine?
You got to have, like I said, four lines banging all night long, banging bodies. Doing the little things right.
Mike, word is your, this is off topic, I know, but word is your sexual preference tends towards men. Would you like to speak to that?
No, you can't always be in the box, you know. Can't spend all your time in the box. It's like I said, you know, this game is all about finding those holes one way or another. You know, finding those pockets out there. So, you know, we got to just keep working hard, get pucks deep, get pucks in the net, and, you know, win some hockey games.
Johnny, true, you admitted yourself to a Colorado hospital with a gerbil inside your anal cavity.
Well, you got to get it out right. You got to clear your own zone. You get in trouble, you gotta get those pucks high hard off the glass.
Mike, rumor is that there's a sexually transmitted fungal infection going on amongst the coaching staff. Who's to blame for that?
Ultimately, it's on the players. Ultimately, it's on the guys in this room. It's where it starts. It's like I said, you know, it's too bad that somebody's got to wear it. It's usually the coach. But, you know, we got a good group of guys in this room, a group of guys who likes to bounce back after something like that. So, you know, ultimately, it's on the players to get pucks deep.
Get pucks deep.
Get pucks in the net.
Get pucks in the net.
And, and win some hockey games.
Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
All right, Chance, let's do that hockey. Andrew, I played that clip because I thought it was funny.
That's great.
at Nationals, yeah, I mean, it's funny and it's great, yeah. But at Nationals, I had the opportunity to, you know, be around some of the guys who were being interviewed. And they almost said verbatim. Now, none of this stuff about gerbils and snorting cocaine and midgets and whatever else, right? But get pucks deep, get to the net, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I must have, if I heard it once, I heard it 100 times.
I was going to say, if you hear it once, you've heard it 1,000 times, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you what. Now, hey, Andrew, speaking of heard it once, I heard it 100 times. Guess what I heard once and I heard 100 times?
Oh, the chicken dance.
Nope.
Let's start.
Nope.
Freeze!
Oh,
everybody,
yes.
Clap your hands.
Oh.
Come on, y'all.
No, don't come on, y'all, buddy.
Check it out, y'all.
Oh, Andrew, I cannot stand that song.
I was thinking it was the chicken dance that they played all the time.
Here's one that I actually really enjoyed hearing is... At least once a game, I heard it, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, come on. When you hear that, you're just like, bum, 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 bum.
That's a good post-timeout song right there.
Well, hey, good for Andy. Andy Storrs, the music man, he must have played that once a game, and every time he did it, it's kind of my little tradition to have fun and on Twitter with it. Now, Andrew... We have a new tradition. I told you during the season, I went and I saw Ricky Martin, Enrique Iglesias, and Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, during the games, the music man, he would pull this nugget out. And, oh, my God, I think it might be a new one on the playlist.
Good to see the world getting loose. Mr. Worldwide. Feels good to see the world getting loose.
I don't know about you, Sack Noel.
I don't know about you, but I feel good.
Uh-huh. I don't know about you, but I feel good. Come on, Andrew.
Oh, that
right there is going to get you going.
What has happened to you? Oh my god!
When that came on the PA, it was like, yeah, you know what? That'll get your juices flowing. That's pretty good. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot.
What has happened to you? I'm gonna have to find a new concert, buddy.
Well, notice I didn't ask you to come see Mr. Worldwide. So
yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
appreciate
you,
it.
You would have been converted. Hey, we had a great time. The Centene Community Ice Center. What an absolutely awesome host.
That is a great building.
It's a what a wonderful building. And the Hollywood Casino Hotel.
It was a little bit to be desired.
It's near the rink. let's say that. I mean, it's nice. It has some issues. I mean, they're you could tell they're more casino than hotel.
Yeah.
But it's very nice, and it was nice and convenient. How about that?
There you go.
Got to give some props to my friends Brian Moran, Dan Monticelli. It was the three of us up there at the top, basically holding down the fort for Men's Division One. Andy Storrs in the penalty box, taking care of the national anthem and the music and all the announcements. Andy had to go on IR for a day, and DJ from over at Maryville came over and helped out. And Andrew, you know what? I'm going to say this too. When we were checking in with Maryville during the season.
Yeah,
you know, they have one play-by-play guy who is just excellent, and then they have two other guys. You know, that are, you know, one is like Krusty the Clown, and the other one's like the Undertaker. Well, the one who I give a hard time that he's like Krusty the Clown and that he's all over the place. His name is Chuck Krause, and Chuck came over and ran the PA for a game or two while Andy was on injured reserve, and Chuck knocked it out of the park. He was awesome. He was awesome. That. So, I made sure to tell the folks from Maryville that, hey, get that guy off of the TV and put him behind the microphone because
get him out there.
He's very good at what he was excellent. He was excellent. He brought a lot of energy and he did a great job. Now, you know, it doesn't translate very well over to the TV screen, in my opinion. But I thought he did a fantastic job.
Awesome.
So Russ Slagle, Russ, everybody knows Russ. Everybody loves Russ. There should be a TV show called Everybody Loves Russ. Russ was our tournament director again. And, you know, stuff slides downhill and Russ is, like it or not, he's at the bottom of that hill and he takes care of things. And he usually does it with a very good attitude. There are times when he gets kind of down in the dumps and that's when it's time to grab him and give him a hug and let him know that all is well. But Russ did good, and then Craig Barnett was there, Paul Hebert was there from the ACHA. They put out a guy who's a friend of Paul Hebert's, and he does mostly men's Division II stuff. But he did a little video series out there in the lobby of the Centene Community Ice Center, and he interviewed anybody with a pulse that would walk by.
Really?
Yeah, and he he's very popular. So it's Rasty McGibbon is his name, and he does a very good job in terms of putting out these little video vignettes, these video interviews. So he does okay with those, and they were entertaining, and I'm sure moms and dads appreciated those.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool.
The Hall of Famer himself, Dr. Al Murdoch, flew in for the last few days, and you know, while he might have gotten relegated to the kids' table up there at the top just due to space limitations, the doctor of hockey was in full. I always enjoy seeing Doc and talking with him, and he's a sharp guy. He's got a book. You should buy it.
Oh,
yep, the history of Iowa State hockey. And so,
let me rush right out of Barnes and Noble and get it.
You can borrow my copy, Andrew.
I'll be by tomorrow.
So yeah, we had a good time. We had a great time, let's say that. And it was good to get the band back together. And more importantly, as I told you before we hit record, it was great to get up there. It was great to be in all the games. It's great that it's all over with.
Yeah, it's in the rearview mirror.
It's in the rearview mirror. So thank goodness it's over with. We have a champion. Congratulations to Gary Astolos and the Adrian Bulldogs.
How about that?
Now you get to wear that bullseye all year long, and congratulations.
Yeah, good stuff.
You know something that I do not get, Andrew, and I've mentioned this to the ACHA. When it comes time for presenting the medals,
yeah,
you know, the post-game junk, they ask both teams to line up on the blue line.
Oh, if you're second, you want to get to the locker room.
Yeah. And, you know, the second team, they don't want their trophy. They don't want they just lost a game. They don't want that trophy.
I remember having a specific battle about a second place trophy in our day, and we didn't want it.
And I think we had that battle with some of these guys I just mentioned, that maybe the national tournament director and his and the anthem singer. if I remember right, I think we left that trophy in a garbage can somewhere.
It started out in an ice chest.
in an ice chest. And then someone was running after the bus trying to present it to us.
As the bus driver was getting in the finger out the side window.
Anyways, they asked both teams to line up. And, you know, the team that just lost, they don't want to be there. But, Andrew, we have the Murdoch Cup. It's gigantic. It's a monstrous cup. And then we have this little, like, peach bowl right next to it, this little cup that's... And I have no reason why in the world we have these two cups out there. Now, one of them, supposedly, I mean, the reasoning, the rationale is the little one, the team gets to keep. The big one, they get to hold on to it, but it's the real trophy, and they have to return it every year.
Right.
Well, it doesn't make any sense then to give them the little one. Let them go make a replica of the big one for themselves. You know, but it was very awkward. And the reason I bring it up, it's because when they handed the little one to the captains, you know, to start, you know, holding or, you know, as part of the trophy presentation, they thought that was it. And so they started holding it up and going nutty. And you know, Brian Moran and Andrew Murdoch, Dr. Al Murdoch are down on the ice, and they have to say, no, the big one is for you too. And that's the one to hold over your head.
Oh boy.
So I don't
hold the peach jar up, hold the trophy up.
Yeah, exactly. We got this monster bowl, and they're holding up this little, you know, I don't know, this cherry bowl. I don't get it.
Ice cream bowl.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, they didn't ask me, so whatever. Yeah. All right. Hey, let's go through it. The final ranking came out based on the results from Nationals. Adrian is now number one. UNLV is now number two. Central finished the season number three. Grand Canyon finished the season number 14 out of the Western Collegiate League. Missouri State's number 15. Utah finished number 18. And Arizona finished in the 20th spot.
Not too shabby.
The computer then kicked. That's based on the results from Nationals, right? So, yeah. Anyways, let's see here. The computer also said Oklahoma finished number 27, Arizona State number 31, Colorado 34, Colorado State 38. And when you look at the computer poll by conference, the WCHL by far is the best conference in the ACHA with a 20.6 league average. Next closest is the Eastern States League when they had a 28.1 league average.
How about that? And then the independents were 28.7. So
yeah, and then, hey, look at that. The B conference, MCH, right on their heels at 30.7. And we're taking three of the independents next year.
That'll put the pressure on the WCHL boys, won't it?
Yeah, it should. So hey, but that's the way it should be.
Yep.
So we're always trying to get better, not only in the WCHL but also in the MCH. I caught so much crap from people up there. I already told you about, you know, the there was one stalker on Twitter that was just following me all around. Because I called, you know, the East Coast, some of those Eastern things, you know, the crappy conference from Philly and the terrible conference from New York and whatever.
Didn't show them the love.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it called me unprofessional and whatever. I mean, come on. It's a stupid podcast. Get over yourself. And hey, it's ACHA Club Hockey. Get over yourself.
Little as you know, we're just getting started with this. we can be a whole lot worse if we want to.
Well, and hey, if that's what it takes to motivate your guys, man, go ahead. Whatever it is that's going to float your boat, man, go
for it. Do what you got to do, right?
But I also, you know, if I heard it once, I heard it a couple of times. I need to look into some analytics. because the analytics that I'm getting are way off that say we've only got 14 listeners, because I must have met at least 15 different people that said, hey, your podcast, listen to the podcast, really get a kick out of it. I met Ryan Armstrong's mother. I met Adam Stalzer's father. I met some other folks that weren't even in the WCHL.
And they listened to it.
It's, yeah. And so it was just kind of scary and gratifying at the same time. We appreciate everybody that listens. But, Andrew, the people that listened or that really took issue were some of the MCH teams that said, we're not the B Conference anymore, are we? We're not the – can't keep calling us the B Conference.
You're the B Conference until you prove it.
Yeah, well, next year might be that year.
Gauntlet is down, right?
We might have the A Conference and then the 1A Conference. You never know.
That'd be great.
Next season, we're going to have 75 teams playing in the ACHA Men's Division One. We're adding three teams. Drury is going to join as an independent. Saginaw Valley State and Northwood are joining Men's Division One. They're coming to us from Men's Division Three.
Okay.
And some of the conferences are going to have some different looks. The WCHL is going to add one team. We talked about this, didn't we?
Yep.
San Diego State is in. We were going to add Northern Arizona, but they pulled the chute and said, they're not coming. Yeah. So,
yeah, I was going to say we were going to add two, but you're just adding the one. So.
Sorry to the guys in Flagpole, but NAU is, and I think they've got an unexpected. They're gonna get a little surprise, I think, because of their actions. So they won't like it. A lump of coal is coming in their national stocking. MCH next year, we've talked about, they're adding three teams. Minot State, Illinois, and Iowa State are joining the MCH to make that a 10-team conference.
Good little addition.
The Great Lakes League is breaking up, and the better teams from the Great Lakes League have left. They're going to form now the GL6.
GL6.
Which is funny because it's going to have seven teams in it, but they're calling themselves the GL6. And then the four remaining teams in the GLCHL, they're adding that Saginaw Valley State and Northwood. So it's kind of like the haves and the have nots are basically splitting up there. So what's next is we've got a couple of things on the horizon. Our annual meeting is coming up in May.
It's going to be in Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Nobody wants to go down to kooky Florida anymore, apparently.
they're staying in the hot spot in Nashville, right in the middle of all the action.
Well, hey, it's the ACHA, Andrew. No, we're not staying in the middle of all the action. They're staying at the airport Sheridan. Come on. It's like going to Las Vegas.
Then staying in out by the lake or something.
Staying at a roadside motel, 50 miles outside of town.
Now that could be fun in Vegas.
Well, it's not even like going to Vegas and staying in Henderson or anything. It's you're going to Vegas and you're staying like out, you're in a tent out in the that scene from The Hangover where the guy jumps out of the Ken Jeong jumps out of the trunk.
Yeah,
that's like where we're staying. So I can't believe it. I asked the guys from the ACHA, are we staying in at Opryland? Are we staying at the Gaylord? Are we staying?
Yeah, anything?
Staying in Airport Sheridan. Yeah. I said, you guys are, not me.
You might as well rent a van and just go down by the river, right?
There's a couple of proposals that might get talked about at the M1 breakout meeting. I don't think anything exciting is going to happen at all at the general session. They might talk about whether to allow a different officiating system. Right now we have two refs and two lineys, or one ref and two lineys. I think there's a proposal out there to go to allow two refs and one liney as a potential option for teams. I don't know if that's cheaper or better, but whatever.
Interesting. Yeah, I wonder what the rationale is there.
Don't know. There's one that there's a proposal to allow graduate students to play. Even right now in the ACHA, at least at men's one, graduate students can play, but they have to graduate from the school they played four while getting their undergraduate degree.
Right.
So, you know, if you got 4 years at Arizona, you could play a fifth year, but it can only be at Arizona. You can't you can't go to Utah for your fifth year.
Yeah, you can't take the transfer portal.
Well, yeah. So they want to modify that, and I think the rationale there is, and when I say they, there are teams out there from the East Coast, you know, the usual suspects. That are, you know, they want some NCAA guys that have already played 4 years of NCAA to, you know, offer them a magic fifth year of eligibility.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to grad school and you've played 4 years, you should be able to go and play one more year, right?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, I don't get it, but I don't need to get it. So.
Yeah, I don't think that changes enough to really alter the landscape, right?
Well, I mean it might, because you know we there are teams in our, well, let's just think about it, right? There are teams in our division, in ACHA Men's Division I, that have NCAA counterparts: Robert Morris, Pennsylvania; Adrian College; Arizona State.
Yeah,
and you know, let's say that some kids don't. You know, they play their 4 years there, and then they want to keep playing. You know, all of a sudden we have an NCAA drop-down who's playing their fifth year in the ACHA. Is that what we want? I don't know.
I don't know if it changes enough. One guy dropping down, right? And if he's dropping down, if he's going to grad school and he's dropping down out of an NCAA D1 program, and he's not going on to play a pro level something, is he that much of a game changer?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, and you very well could be right. And who knows, maybe they're too good to play in the ACHA, right? Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably going to be more likely, because if you're, yeah, you know, in Arizona State and you're not going to play minor pro somewhere, the last thing you want to do is to go play club hockey again back at the same school you were already at. So,
right.
Yeah, and then I think there's something out there where some folks want to take another peek at the ranking system, and they want to modify it to use the what's called the CRACH, K-R-A-C-H, CRACH system. So we'll see if that has any support or any strength.
Oh, the ranking system is glorious. Well, 3 months of the coach's popularity poll followed up by 3 months of actual numbers, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. I think the funny thing is with the I think the folks that have proposed this change proposed it, but didn't really have any solution. They just said we should go to it, but they didn't have any. They didn't put any thought into who's going to do it and where, how much is it going to cost to go to this route? And, you know, they just think there's a magical, like we can go to Best Buy and buy their CRACH ranking system off online and, you know, install it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it works that way. So,
yeah, I don't think so.
So, anyways, Andrew, what's, you had an exciting spring break. You're changing diapers and,
Changing diapers and feeding bottles. That's what we do around here nowadays.
I got to say this, Andrew. You missed out in St. Louis. Emo's Pizza.
Yeah.
Flatbread pizza. I know that New York pizza is, in my mind, the best. Just big and sloppy, and you can fold it and greasy, and, you know, it's just incredible. I'm getting hungry thinking about it, but I'm always hungry. You've seen me. I'm always hungry. You know, Chicago pizza, Chicago pizza is okay, but you know,
deep dish is just okay.
Yeah, it's okay. That's exactly. It's just okay. This is flatbread type stuff. Flat. And boy, it sure is good. Oh, Emo's Pizza. Thank you, Emo's, for being open late night. Thank Emo's you to Buffalo. Pizza, huh? Thank you. Yeah. To Buffalo Wild Wings for being open late night.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, I can't stand that place.
Come on. Hey,
it's terrible.
When games go into overtime on Saturday and Sunday night, and there's only two or three places that are open late, you love it when you can go in and sit down and actually have a meal.
Mm.
Andrew, next season, you know, there's some other stuff that might be in the works for next season.
Heard
some scuttlebutt that, you know, the World University Games might be back in play for the ACHA.
Oh, that's exciting.
In Turin, Italy.
So, ooh, I know. A good destination, too.
A great destination.
Not Krasnoyarsk, Russia, or wherever that was.
Nope. And then... I hope we didn't lose you. Do we still got you there?
Are you there?
I'm there. We must have lost you. What you said Krasnoyarsk, okay. You said Krasnoyarsk, Russia, and then Andrew, I think the Russians cut you off.
They heard me. They heard me. Oh, well, man. Holy moly. I'm like, whoa, where'd you go? Let's check all the connections. What's going on here?
Let's watch our I heard the whoop, and I said, are you there? So let's watch our P's and Q's and not...
Yeah, let's not make Vladimir mad.
Yeah, not anger Mother Russia.
That's right.
So yeah, thank God we're not going there.
Yeah, Italy, a way better destination.
Yeah, so we'll see if that happens. I know it's still early in the process, but there's a possibility that the ACHA might be back in the Winter World University Games mix.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and that would be good because it would be both men's and women.
That's exciting. Yeah, that's great.
It's even better, yeah, because the women would then have another opportunity. But at the same time, we've also got the World Cup of University Hockey that might be going on.
Ooh.
Over in Poland. I think it's called Osipowicz. Or Auschwitz. It's at Auschwitz. Okay? I don't know what the Germans call it Auschwitz. The Polish people call it Osipowicz or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's at Auschwitz where, you know, the concentration camps were. And
that would be an interesting destination as well.
It would be an educational one for sure. So I said, well, hey, I asked some of the folks in the know. I said, you know, if we go to one, does that mean the other's out? And they said, no, not entirely. So
maybe filled two teams.
Three teams.
Wow.
Because remember, we would take a USA contingent for the Winter World Games, and then we would take a USA and Canadian women's contingent. Well, there you go. Okay, four. Let's get to it. For the Winter World Games, we'd take a men's USA team and a women's USA team. And then for the World Cup of University Hockey, we'd take a men's USA and a men's Canada team.
There you go.
So, yeah, it could be kind of interesting.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll have to keep our ear to the ground and see what happens. So I'm sure we'll probably get some more news on that at our winter meeting in Nashville. But, otherwise, I think it's time to... kind of put this bad boy to rest.
Yeah, I say we put a bow tie on this thing and call it a season, right?
Retire the, one of the things, in Andrew, I appreciate that you're going to laugh at this. I appreciate it when the gentleman told me this. But he listens to this podcast, and he also listens to some other ACHA podcasts out there. And he said the production value of this one was the superior. He said it was better than all the others. And that just made me laugh because I was like, buddy, if you only knew.
Little does he know.
We got one guy in a garage. Yeah, right. And we got another guy in his kid's bedroom. We got two angry wives. You know,
one guy covered in sawdust.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here drooling, thinking of pizza, and our production values are great now. So I appreciated the kind words, but
I'm pissed off because I drank all my milk before we got started. So I don't, my milk's gone. I'm like, what in the world?
Then we have our production value. We have you drop out right in the middle of the friggin' podcast.
I know. We say Russia and boom, we're done.
Boom. Thank you, mother.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, but listen, I appreciate that. Thanks to everybody for listening. Andrew, thank you for putting up and being a sidekick for yet another great season of the WCHL podcast.
Once again, it's been fun.
Thanks to everybody that's been on the podcast as a guest, whether they were the student athletes or the coaches or even some of the guest pickers for Nationals. Most importantly, we want to thank you out there, the listener, not for listening to this podcast, but we appreciate that for sure, but for your support of the ACHA hockey and of the WCHL and the players and the student athletes and the coaches that make up what I think is the best conference in the ACHA. Could mean in a run for my money with the other conference, but it's, you know, there's, I have a special thing. My kids don't play hockey. I mean, you know, the closest they come to ice is putting it in their cups, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For drinks. And, you know, but the ACHA has, even though I'm not a hockey guy, like I've been told many, many, many times.
Yes.
The ACHA has a little special place in for me, and I enjoy what we do. I enjoy the ability to for kids to keep playing competitive college hockey while they get their degrees, and then they go on to be productive members of society later on. And so it's I enjoy being a part of this, and I enjoy the podcast and shedding a little bit of light, a very small sliver of light onto the student athletes and the coaches and the teams because they deserve it. I'm not looking for there are folks out there looking for sponsors and partners and glory and whatever all that is, and that's not what we're about here. We just want to.
No.
Shine a little light and have a little fun. Remember that it's a game. It's supposed to be fun and not take ourselves too freaking seriously.
You're right.
So even if it means I got to eat a little crow every now and then because, hey, because, you know, the broken clock was right twice a day. So whatever, whatever. Yeah. I'll take it.
I'm just glad you had to take it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
If there's one other person out there in this world giving you a load of crap, I am on their side. I can tell you that.
We want to thank the ACHA graphics department. I don't know if you saw that, Andrew, but they came through with some great images throughout the tournament. The ACHA graphics department just knocked it out of the park. The guys and girls slaving away in somewhere Michigan. I don't know where they keep the main server, where they do all that fantastic graphics crap, but thanks to them.
The fantastic crap.
That's what we ought to call this podcast, the Fantastic Crap Podcast. I enjoyed getting to know the broadcasters on Flow Hockey. If I was on the decision-making, I think I would have folks that know Division I a little bit better. These guys seem to know Division III a lot better and Division II, and they seem to care more about that than they did Division I. I mean, God bless them. I don't really care about those other divisions.
Yeah.
Whatever. I met a great guy who was the cameraman for Flow Hockey. The dude was there for all 23 games. His name is Ian. Ian, get this, Andrew. It's E-Y-A-A-N. When he said his name was Ian, you know where I originally went, okay?
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, boy, here we go. I know another Ian.
We're in for a trip.
I started to run. This dude was awesome, and we had a great time. And he was from, I'm going to say this wrong, Florissant, Missouri. Dude was just awesome, and I really enjoyed getting to know him. And hey, we had a great time. It's been a great season. Well, thank you, Andrew, again for being on the podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And let's take a break, and before we know it, it'll be time for us to start this craptastic thing up again.
Firing it back up again, won't we?
More fantastic crap to come. Something to look forward to.
Oh, can't really wait.
All right, that's it. Let's give us a 5-star rating. Contact us at the WCHL pod. Check out the Western Collegiate Hockey League. I'm going to tell you, Andrew, I BS about this, but we're going to get ourselves a website, come hell or high water.
Yeah, one way or another.
It's coming. Trust me. It's coming.
One way or the other.
Follow Andrew on Twitter at StickfordAM. Follow me on Threads. I'm at CJPNOKLA. I'm also on Twitter too, but I try to focus more on Threads. And in the meantime, take care of yourself. Take care of the ones you love. Mental health is a big thing these days, and rightfully so. If you need help, there's no shame in asking for it. Let people know. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? To help our brothers and sisters when they're in need. And I'm not trying to get preachy. I'm just saying, hey, if we're all trying to pull on the same rope here. So we want you to be around for next season, and we want to for you to be able to give me crap next season, for me to eat more crow. So if you're out there and you're feeling kind of overwhelmed, reach out, and Andrew will talk to you. I'll talk to you.
Yep.
Let's just take care of yourself and take care of one another. Andrew, what else do you have to say? I've talked way damn too much.
It's been fun this season. Glad everybody listened and has put up with our crap. And I'm really looking forward to doing it again next year.
There we go. All right, for the last time, signing off from the garage and from the child's bedroom.
There you go. We'll see you next season. Everybody take care. Have a great summer, and we will catch you on the flip side.